All right. Welcome to This and That Podcasting Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 8. Today is Monday, September 29th, the last Monday of September. We're about to be in October. Two good teams have made it their way into October. Surprisingly, somehow, Detroit Tigers just, you know, squeaked their way
in. Survived.
They almost played the Uno reverse card of last season, where they were projected to not be in, and then they somehow got in with like a 0.2 percentage, you know, chance of getting in.
And then they almost just choked this one.
And then they almost choked this one. So this is not good. Not a great turnaround season. Not the way you want to have a turnaround season.
Nope.
Anyways, we're going to go over our top five pick games of the week with what we picked, and then the actual top five, get our honorable mentions in, upset of the week. We will review the Ryder Cup. Unfortunately for all of America, was not great. And then we will get into some MLB postseason predictions. The MLB postseason is here. It starts tomorrow, goes through Thursday. If there's a game three, go look at our top five games to watch. I'm pretty sure some of these series are in there and both of our top five games to watch. Get our upset prediction in. We're going to have our fantasy competition still, and then we're going to have an MLB awards ceremony. At the end of every season, we're going to have an awards ceremony for each and every, you know, what have you, league, MLB, NFL, NHL, college basketball, college baseball. Well, we won't be here at the end of college baseball, but anyways.
All of the above.
All of the above. And then we'll get back into gambling. Hopefully we've won some money. I didn't, unfortunately.
I didn't win shit.
And then we'll tell you what not to bet on and wrap it on up with Homeward Bound again. And we're going to like speed run this because this is chock full. So yeah,
this is jam-packed up. Yeah, this is jam-packed. So we're going to have to go quick.
Gotta go quick.
Here we go. We can review. Here we go.
Here we go. So my top five games picked, I went 1-4. My one win was Oregon beating Penn State in double overtime, 30-24. It was awesome to watch. Obviously, watching
kind of
the first
game,
overtime.
Honestly.
I mean, it was all the way up until like right at
the
end.
Like, the fourth quarter was amazing.
Overtime, then it was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, fourth quarter on was amazing. It was like the first three quarters. It was just a boring game because it was like, yeah, I'm fine with low-scoring games. It's just that there was, like, no momentum. Like, either it was just, like, two first downs punt, or make a mistake, punt. Like, it was just kind of, eh.
Yeah, it was a lot of mistakes in that game, for sure, from both sides. Like, it was just like, what is going on? My other losses, I chose LSU to beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss wins 24-19. I chose Georgia to beat Alabama. Alabama beats Georgia 24-21. I picked the Buccaneers to beat the Eagles. Eagles beat the Buccaneers 31-25. And then I picked the Ravens to beat the Chiefs. Chiefs beat the Ravens 37-20.
You said you went 1-4?
I went 1-4. Oregon.
You went
only one.
You won two. Eagles won. Oh, you picked the Bucks.
I picked the Bucks.
I picked the Bucks because
the Bucks were at home.
The Eagles.
So yeah. I thought they would. Yeah, like I thought they would be like because they had a great game against the Jets. The Eagles have been struggling lately, and I thought the Buccaneers would be able to pull it off, but no, I was wrong.
Well, don't worry. I went 1-4 as well. So the only ones I got right was the Tigers-Guardians series that I predicted that Guardians would win that series. They won, yep. I think, 2-1 in that one.
Thank goodness they won.
They won one and kept them in. So, but other than that, yeah, me and you had similar picks. I had the LSU-Ole Miss. I picked LSU, lost that one. I had the Bama-Georgia game. Georgia won, or Alabama won again, which is weird. Alabama just has Georgia's number. It's kind of – doesn't matter, like, if they play at Georgia or not. It's like Bama just keeps beating Georgia.
You would have thought without the Nick Saban in the picture, you thought Georgia would be able to handle it, especially
Bama just has their number. Yeah, Bama just has their number. I had the Oregon-Penn State game. Lost that one because I had Penn State. Ravens Chiefs. For some reason, I picked Ravens on this, and I've like every other gambling site, I've picked Chiefs to win this game. So, Lost that one.
I gambled on the Chiefs, but I picked the Ravens in here.
Yeah, it was really weird. I don't know why. It's like when I was reviewing my stuff, I was like, dang, why did I pick the Ravens? I picked the Chiefs like on all my betting sites. So, yeah, I went 1-for-4. So, like, we had similar games. Not a good predicting week. A lot of them were still in the top games of the week.
I mean, yeah, like, I kept two of them in the top five. I've got the Oregon-Penn State game and then the Alabama-Georgia game. I believe those still stay up there, even though they were still somewhat slow, low-scoring games. Like, they're close game. Yeah, they're still pretty good to watch. I kept flipping back and forth between each game and kept myself entertained at the end of the day. Yeah. I'm giving player of the game for the Oregon-Penn State game to Dante Moore, 248 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns. And then for the Alabama-Georgia game, I'm giving player of the game to Ty Simpson, 276 passing yards and 2 passing touchdowns. So.
Yep, I had the same. I had Dante Moore. Yeah, sorry. I had Dante Moore. Yeah, 3 touchdowns. He had a good game. He was kind of slow to start the game, but he kind of turned on near the end of the game. He started making some big throws near the end, and he also ran the ball very well. He was clutch for Oregon running the ball the entire game because he got a lot of rushing first downs. Ty Simpson, yeah, he had a nice game. 2 touchdowns, running rushing touchdown. So, yeah, there's not much more to say about that. Bama just looks better than Georgia. Whenever they play each other, Bama just always looks better than Georgia. And I had a funny feeling Oregon was going to beat Penn State. They can't win big games.
I think at that point, that's where we kind of differentiate our top five because I've got 3 different top five games and you do too. I'll go over the rest of my top five. I've got the Georgia Tech Wake Forest game. I believe that belongs up there. It was a very good game to watch, 30-29 in overtime. Wake Forest should have won. Like, they got robbed.
The refs blew it on the offsides call.
That offsides call. But even after that, like, I don't know why. Why would you go for 2 in the first overtime? Like, just go for the field goal, kick the field goal.
I have the ball back.
Like, if you get the ball second in first overtime, you get the ball first in second overtime, and then you can, you know, make a good decision there.
I don't mind going for it in overtime, going for 2 in overtime. People do that all the time just to – so you don't have to go to another overtime because you just don't trust your defense to stop them. I had an issue with in the fourth quarter when Wake Forest had the ball. Georgia Tech went offsides, and the Wake Forest quarterback was like, "Oh, he's offsides. Let me just throw this up." And then the refs never called it, which the first down would have been given. They had no timeouts at that point. The game was over. The offsides gave him a first down, and they never called the offsides, and it was clearly offsides. So Wake Forest kind of got robbed of that. That was a robbery.
His whole body was like completely over the line. Like every was single part of his body.
I don't know why you can't review those kind of calls either.
I don't know. Don't look at
I'm not one for like stopping play and making it slow down, but I feel like those should be like challengeable type plays.
Yeah, for
offsides
sure.
should be challengeable. False start should be challengeable. Face masks should be challengeable. Like that kind of stuff should be challengeable.
Yeah.
Not the refs to stop it and review it, but just a coach just could be like, hey, challenge. That was offsides.
Challenge flag. Yeah. Yep. I'm giving player of the game to Haynes King. 106 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. So very big, very good game for him, for Georgia Tech. And then number 4 is the number 23 Illinois taking down number 21 USC 34-32.
Yep, that was a good game.
My goodness,
that
game
was a wild game. That was a wild game.
Yes,
Illinois could have just won it right at the end, and then just fumbles the ball and throws it in the end zone, and then USC gets it, goes down and scores. Just like holy crap! And then Illinois comes back.
What is going on?
It was a wild game.
I'm giving player of the game to Luke Altmaier. 328 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns. So really big game for him as a quarterback.
He had a good game.
Good comeback game, especially after taking a walloping to Indiana. And then one NFL game to be here in the top 25, the Jacksonville Jaguars, San Francisco 49ers. Jaguars beat the Niners 26-21, giving player of the game to Travis Etienne Jr., 124 rushing yards and 1 rushing touchdown. So very big game for him.
Nice. Yeah, we all differentiate on that. I do have the Wake Forest Georgia Tech. That's my honorable mention game. So I did have that one in there. I had to include it just because the refs blew that game. And it would have been a big upset. So my other ones I have, I had the number 15 Tennessee going to Mississippi State and surviving 41-34 in overtime. Mississippi State had a chance. They just missed it right at the end in overtime. It's not a good look for Tennessee because they just came off a loss and they were about to – they were damn near about to lose this game. So I'm curious on how good Tennessee actually is when they play these tough games. Yeah. Still gave the player of the game to Joey Aguilar. He had their quarterback for Tennessee. He threw for 335 with one touchdown. He had 21 rushing yards and another touchdown. Overall, it was a good game. It was fun to watch. Another game that goes in overtime, two SEC teams. The next ones I have were Colts versus Rams. I don't know if you put that. You didn't put that one on there, did you?
Nope.
Yeah, Colts versus Rams was a good game because it was kind of back and forth. They went from Rams up like 10-0.
Yeah.
Then Colts came back and tied it, and then Rams took the lead 13-10 at half. Then Colts went up like 20-13. They scored like 10 straight in the fourth quarter, and then the Rams scored two touchdowns at the end of the game to retake the lead and win the game at the end. So yeah, it was a very exciting kind of back and forth game. Player of the game obviously goes to Puku, who probably had the game of the week for fantasy at least. He had 13
a whole bunch of points.
Yeah, 13 catches for 170 yards and a touchdown. He went off. Stafford's favorite player. He loves throwing to him. And in my last game, I had to stay up all night to put this down so I could get the stats right.
Yeah.
Packers-Cowboys.
Going into a tie
at the
end of the day.
Well, we'll go with a tie. Right. I hate that there are ties in football, but 40-40, it was an exciting game. It was the second highest scoring tie in NFL history. For my player of the game, I gave it to one for each team since it was a tie. So Jordan Love went 31-43. He actually had it was one of his better games he's had in his career.
Yeah.
He threw for 337 with three touchdowns. And then Cowboys, I could have given it to Dak, but it's kind of boring just keep giving it to quarterback after quarterback. So I'll give it to George Pickens on that one. He was the one I kind of predicted to kind of go off on this game. He had 8 catches for 134 yards and 2 touchdowns in this one. So with CeeDee Lamb going down, he had a monster game, which is kind of what I predicted.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like that you put that in the top five. That way we can kind of talk about it a little bit because I think at the end of the day, the NFL should take a page out of the college football book and do what they're doing for overtime and double overtime.
I agree. The only caveat I would say is that don't start on the 35. Just put it on the 50-yard line. Start your possession.
Yeah, that works. Or you're out of field goal range
at that point. Just put it on the 50. You're automatically out of field goal range. You're not kicking a 70-yard. I mean, I guess you could, but
yeah,
50-yard line.
If you have Jake Bates or
50-yard line, yeah,
Brandon McManus.
Big McManus. Yeah, I don't see why you can't do that. But there's no extra points in it. Just make it 2-point conversions. So if you score a touchdown, 2-point conversion automatically.
Yeah, you have to do 2-point no matter what, like even starting from first overtime.
Yep. I agree. And it would be fun.
I think college football should take a page out of NFL's playbook and change the kickoff because we've had a lot more.
The kickoff's been pretty fun in the NFL this year.
And in college, it probably would be even better with the younger kids, like how fast and how quick they are.
Cool because it's like a chess match. The kickers can – this is like a big kicking. You get a good kicker, he can pinpoint these balls to hit like just inside the drop zone and then go into the end zone.
Yep.
It's pretty cool to watch these kickers do this. So, yeah, I agree. There's definitely could put some changes in there with these kind of – like you said, take a page of each of their books.
Yeah. And then my honorable mention, Kyle, is actually a, low game that nobody usually pays attention to. The Louisiana Raging Cajuns beat Marshall 54-51 in double overtime.
That was a good game.
That was a good game to watch all the highlights for because I was like, what happened here? Yep. And then giving player of the game to Lunch Winfield.
Stole your lunch. He stole your lunch.
He stole your lunch. He's got 129 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. Like, good night. Go off, kid.
I mean, we might as well just
get everybody's lunch.
We might as well just talk about the upset of the week. I lost my upset of the week. Washington looked good to begin with. And
obviously,
Ohio State just kind of took over at the end. I had the prediction. Washington just kind of shot themselves, and the refs kind of kept giving Ohio State a lot of calls.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of getting ridiculous. I hate to be the guy that says that again, but it's like it really was. That was one of the worst. I don't know if you watched the game. I watched a little bit of it. Near the end, it was one of the worst roughing the passer calls I have ever seen in college football, just in football in general.
Yeah.
Dude just literally shoved him. The quarterback didn't even fall down. He just took 2 back steps, and they called roughing the passer. No helmet to helmet, nothing. All the announcers on TV were like, that was a rough call. Then the beginning of the game, Washington made like a 30-yard pass. Like, it was okay, we're moving. They flagged the coach for sideline interference. When the play was dead, and the ref is the one that went and touched the coach, and they caught it. Even the guys in the announcers were also like, dude, that was a weak call. Why is there no warning or anything? Just immediately. It was like play after play. Yeah, it was kind of just aggravating to watch because it was – I think Washington had like 6 or 7 penalties before like Ohio State even had one. It was not fun to watch. It was a good game. It should have been closer. But I think we have a consensus of the upset of the week. So
Yes, the actual upset of the week. Because mine didn't hit either because also we already talked about Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, all that. So, yeah, actual upset of the week, Virginia beating Florida State – 46-38. That is just a big old upset for FSU. Yeah.
And then they had the quickest storming of the field I've ever seen in my life. It was like the minute the ball hits the ground, like they just fly. It's like, holy crap, they didn't even wait for a flag or anything. They're like not giving the ref a chance to throw a flag.
Nope, not giving anybody a chance for anything. I think they're gonna have to start doing a 1.5 minute clock for football as they do for basketball. Now, like they got to put a whole like wait. We got to put a 1 minute and 30 second clock up. Once this clock ends, then you can storm the field. Because Wake Forest had some kids waiting for that too, waiting to storm the field. But their crowd wasn't as big as Virginia's.
Let's just
say that much.
It was definitely cool to watch, but
yeah, it was awesome to watch. I'm gonna give a player of the game to Chandler Morris, the quarterback. 229 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, 37 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. Like, good night, kid.
Yeah, that was.
Unfortunately, he has three interceptions going against him, but still, kept
FSU in the game.
That oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's not much else to talk about. That it was a cool upset
for Virginia. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. FSU has the upset of the year against Alabama. Now they just get upset.
Yeah. Upsets everywhere, especially in the Ryder Cup. Didn't like this.
Good God.
No American.
Scotty Scheffler just turned into nobody.
Yeah, just turns into absolutely just poop. We're going to go ahead and play that for that him. This is for you, Scotty.
Yeah.
Get in the box,
cheaters,
Scotty.
Never win.
So for this little portion of our entertainment, we got the Ryder Cup. Europe wins 15-13, giving another Poopy Pants Award to Victor Hovland with winning a point and a half. I don't understand this. How do you get half a point for withdrawing? You should be giving up the whole point for withdrawing. I'm sorry. Like, this makes no sense. Like, I get it. You're injured. You're hurt. Like, you can't play. But when you withdraw, especially from, like, a point, like, this is something that Keegan was talking about, you know, post everything. And they took it out of proportion. They took all the other words that I was saying. This is what I think was Keegan was really talking about. Like, when you withdraw from a match like this, I believe you give up the full point. You don't give up half. You're not participating. Like, because that gives Harris English only half a point off of a withdrawal. I put him in our worst, because if that didn't happen, he would not have even won a point. The other person that never won a point was Rasmus Højgaard on the Team Europe side. So from that, you've got Team Europe with freaking, like, most of their team with the best players. You got Tommy Fleetwood winning 4 points, Rory McIlroy winning 3.5, John Rahm winning 3, then Tyrell and Matt Fitzpatrick winning 2.5, Rosie, Oberg, and Lowry all winning 2 points apiece. Like, good night. Like, to where America's best, Cam Young, Xander Schauffele wins 3 points, and then Justin Thomas and J.J. Spahn win 2.
Scotty Scheffler only wins one point.
The only 1 point that he wins is when he plays the one-on-one on the last day. Like,
yep.
Every time he was teamed up with somebody, he lost. Like,
Bryson actually played well. He just didn't get the points.
Yeah, Bryson played very well. When he was teamed up
with Cam,
him and Cam did really well.
Very well. Yeah, so I'm saying, like, it kind of sucks that he only got a point and a half.
Teamed him up even more, honestly, at the end.
Yeah,
it was
weird that he was. Yeah, because when they put him on with Cam Young, they were winning. They kept winning with him and Cam Young together. I mean, just to watch some of his drives where he drove the green like twice on a par four. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Like, go off.
No,
like,
I mean, it's unfortunate. At least they put a fight and came back, and they only lost by 2. But this is kind of golf I wish golf would kind of turn to a little bit more. I know the old heads are like, oh, this isn't golf. You got to be quiet. And how am I going to take my nap watching golf if they're being rowdy the whole time? But, like, that, it's fun to watch, like, the rowdiness from the fans getting into it with the golfers. Yeah. It's fun to watch. Like, that makes golf fun. Like, golf would have higher ratings if they allowed this, like, everywhere.
Like they all understand, especially you've seen the interviews with Rory. Like, you know, it's like you expect it to come from the other side, you know, all the trash talk and everything. But, like, at the end of the day, there does need to be a drawn line to where
there should be a drawn line.
If they're standing over the ball and they're about to hit, it's time to be quiet. Like, because some guys just wouldn't be quiet like at all, and like they
but it made it so much funnier. It's like, I loved it. Like, that's awesome. Just hit under pressure. People screaming. People in baseball have to pitch and hit a baseball and. Or basketball when they're trying to shoot free throws.
Yeah.
Of course they would love the crowd to be silent.
Yeah, of course they would. Like,
just let them be rowdy.
You're the away team.
Because my favorite thing is that it turned Rory, literally, this whole weekend, it turned Rory into Shooter McGavin. It was freaking hilarious because they would just yell at Rory. He would just turn around, like, yell at him back. It just reminded me of the Shooter. It was like, this is golf. Go back to your shanties.
How am I supposed to chip with this going on, Doug?
Yeah. Like, Rory literally was Shooter McGavin the whole weekend.
All right. So, moving on to the MLB postseason portion of our entertainment of the weekend.
Predictions.
The AL, NL predictions. Tigers, Guardians starting off for the AL. Red Sox, Yankees. And then you've got your bye teams, the number one Blue Jays and the number two Mariners. So, for Tigers, Guardians, I've got Guardians to win in 3. I've got, between Red Sox and Yankees, I've got Yankees to win in 2.
So I have Tigers in 3. I think Tigers have better pitching staff.
Ooh.
I also have the Yankees in 3 because I don't think the Yankees can beat Garrett Crochet. Crochet's been basically the second place in Cy Young to Skubal for American League this year, and he's destroyed the Yankees. So I think when he pitches, they're going to win. So I'm going to take Tigers in 3 against the Guardians just because of pitching wins in postseason. If you have a solid starting pitching and good bullpen, you're going to win in the postseason. I think Tigers have better pitching than Guardians. I think Yankees overall have better pitching than Red Sox. So I'm going Yankees in 3, Tigers in 3. So what that does then, it lines up Tigers against the Blue Jays.
Yep.
Yankees, Mariners in my situation. And again, Blue Jays are a hitting team. I'm taking Tigers over Blue Jays, and I'm taking the Yankees over the Mariners to have Tigers-Yankees in the conference finals.
Ooh, okay. I like that. I like to hear that. All right, so for the NL, we've got Reds and Dodgers. 6-3, and then we got Padres and Cubs 4-5, and then you've got your byes. You got your number one Brewers and the number two Phillies. So I'm going to start off, and I'm going to say Dodgers in 2, and then the Cubs in 3.
Almost. I have Dodgers in 2, then I have Padres in 3. I think Padres are just an overall better team than the Cubs. Cubs just had like a kind of miracle run this year.
Yep.
It was like a really good season. I think the Cubs can win one game at home, and then I think they're going to lose in San Diego. So, yeah, I have Dodgers in 2, Padres in 3, which will put Padres and Phillies, Dodgers, Brewers. So I'm going to take Dodgers and Phillies are your conference finals in that one.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
And then I'm going to go All with right. Phillies and Yankees. Although I really think Tigers could actually make it this year. I think this is their year if they're going to do it. If they're going to win it, this is their year. So,
Ooh, I like it.
Because you're going to lose. Like you're losing. You're going to lose Scooble. So, like, this is your year.
Yeah, this is the. This is
you're
the
not. You're not keeping Scooble. Scooble's pretty much said it, but not said it. He's not going to be there next year. Because yeah, you guys aren't going to break the bag to keep him. So,
nope. They're not, because that's how the Tigers organization works. We don't break the bag for anybody, no matter what. That's
even if it's a homegrown, even if,
that's how they lost Scherzer.
Even if it's a farm system, well, Scherzer wasn't a farm system guy. At least he was a Diamondback guy. But like Verlander, you guys should have just spent the bag on one. Like it's a farm system guy. Keep him.
Yep.
But then you guys went out and spent all the money on Prince Fielder and Dontrell Willis, and but you won't keep your own players.
Anybody that's a hitter. We'll spend our money on, but if it's pitcher,
not pitching,
not pitching.
Yeah, so I would like to see the Tigers win. I think Tigers could win it. They have the pitching to do it.
All right, moving on to the top five games to watch this week. Got some baseball in there.
Yep,
surprisingly. Oh my goodness, the playoffs are here.
I should have just put my upset pick as Cincinnati taking out the Dodgers.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be awesome.
That'd be awesome. So, top five games. I think we agree on a few of them.
Yeah, there's not a lot of college football ones this week.
No,
there's some minor quality games, but there's nothing like this past week, and where it was like Oregon and Penn State, Alabama, Georgia. Like, there's none of those really this week.
Well, you still got Alabama. They're playing Vanderbilt.
I don't even count that as a quality
I think it would be a quality game, just how Vanderbilt's been playing this season.
I'm calling it right now. That is the blowout of the week. Bama, you know, Petrus Farms remembers. Bama remembers last year.
Yep, they do.
Yep, they're going to go out there to beat the crap out of them. So,
yep, I'm predicting Bama to win this game, but I still think Vanderbilt could keep it close. I'm still having a positive mind. And then you got Miami FSU, which
that's the big one. That's the big game.
Yeah,
that's a huge rivalry game. They hate each other,
and this is in Tallahassee.
It's in Tallahassee after a Florida State loss on top of it.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be a good game.
I'm still picking Miami to win this game though.
Same. So we had the first two of the same. I had Bama and Miami.
I got one NFL game coming up: Buccaneers at the Seahawks. I think the Buccaneers come back and they actually win.
I do too. I agree on that. But I didn't even pick it. I don't think there was really that many quality. Like, I mean, there's going to be good NFL games, but there's no like top tier matchups this week in the NFL.
There isn't. Like, that's the only one that I looked through all NFL. Yeah, I'm like,
I did too. I was like, man,
okay, that's it. Moving on to baseball.
there's no Detroit, Green Bay, Ravens. Like, there's none of those quality games, like big matchup games this week.
No, because you got Red Sox, Yankees, and Tigers, Guardians series. Yep. Like those,
that's what I put on.
I believe those will definitely end up being up there in the top five games, no matter which game you talk about. If they do play all three games,
we pretty much have the same
to win that series and Guardians.
And you
to
took
win
Guardians,
that yeah.
So I took Yankees, but I took Detroit. The only ones we differ for them is I have the Padres Cubs series, and I think that's going to be a good series.
Okay.
So I'm taking the Padres overall because I think Padres just have more money in their team and they're just top to bottom. They have more talent on that team. Cubs could win it. They could beat them, but they're just going to have to have, like I said, they're just going to have to show up. They're going to have to show out on that game. So, or in these three games. But no, I'm taking Padres. So, we pretty much have the same. It's postseason now. Good thing there's no big football games going on the next 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what football plans were. It's like, just go watch baseball.
Watch baseball for this week, at least this week.
Upset prediction. I've got Houston to beat Texas Tech. Don't know who else to pick. Houston's at home.
I wanted to touch that one.
Has had a pretty good season, and like, yeah,
Tech's good.
I was looking at all the other games to be like, who can I pick to upset? I'm just like, all right, let's go with this one.
I wanted to pick that one too. I'm just like, pick it out of hat, kind of pick. I wanted to pick Houston. I really wanted to, but the things I'm having trouble with is Texas Tech is a very good team. They have a lot of money spent on this team. Two, even though it's at Houston, Texas Tech just went to Utah and beat Utah at Utah, which is 1,000 times harder than going to Houston. So I couldn't pull myself to pull that one. So I took another home game.
Well, in-state rivalry too. Like,
but it's in Texas too, so it's not like they're going to have no Texas fans also.
No. Not at all. I mean, yeah.
They're going to have Texas Tech fans there. Yeah. So my pick was I have Cincinnati beating Iowa State because they're playing in Cincinnati. So that was – I took the same logic as you. There wasn't really many upsets. Picks that I kind of liked. This one I could see being a possible upset because they're playing in Cincinnati. And even though the spread doesn't say so, the spread's like pretty much a 50-50 almost at this point. But it is a 14th ranked team against an unranked team. So to me, that is an upset if you see an upset.
No, I like that. I really like
spread,
that.
The spread is saying like, it's going to be a close game.
That was the other one I was looking at too.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know.
The spread's like -2.5 for Iowa State, and then the money line is literally the same. So it's basically they're just saying it's a 50-50. So if there's an upset pick, that's one that Cincy could win.
I like that. That sounds like a good upset pick to me.
I need to get back on the board. I keep losing all my upset picks.
I want to get back on the board too, especially in this. Like, good Lord.
I need to win a
really bad week.
Yeah,
really bad week for me.
I was doing it late last night. I was like, good God, Alex isn't even going to break 100 tonight this week.
Not again. Didn't even break 100 yet again.
You had three guys that broke 10 points. Every time I look someone up, I was like, holy crap, dude. Like, it's like 5.9, 6.3, 7 points. Like, dude, do you have anyone that made points? And you even had Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. you had good players. It just means you get to still use them, at least.
Yeah, later on in the season.
Yeah, you don't have to choose them now, but it's like you at least got to choose them.
At least I don't have to choose Love or Williams anymore. they're gone.
Alex goes from keeping a defense to keeping a kicker back to back weeks.
To keeping a kicker.
A kicker.
All right. Well. So, for the sarcastic balls, Caleb Williams outscores Taco Truck Sticks Lamar Jackson with 13.7 points. Kenneth Walker outscores Derrick Henry 11.5 points. Alec Ayo Manor.
This is where it gets fun right here. When I was doing this little chunk right here, I was like, good God, Alex.
I picked him like, because like I was told, all right, this kid is going to be good. He's a good rookie. I'm like, okay, that sounds fine. And then Trey Tucker was like top tier, like everybody's number one waiver wire. So he was like the big ad. So I was like, all right, let me just pick this guy just to see what happens. And yeah, that turned out great for 5.4 points for a wide out. And
it doesn't get much better.
Does not get much better from there. Nico Collins gets 9.9 points, outscoring Ladd McConkey.
That was a good game for your team.
And that's the only good player right there, really. Other than TJ Hockenson scoring 5.9 points, outscoring Zach Ertz. I mean, what a showing by the Commanders against the Atlanta Falcons. Like, that was one crazy game to watch, honestly.
It was.
And then Rico Dowdle somehow outscoring Blake Corum with 3.5 points.
He got one more point.
What the heck, Blake? Come on, man. And then LA Chargers outscored the Minnesota Vikings. I obviously made a pick of picking the Denver Broncos because I did not notice I was picking a Monday night game. So I was like, let me just choose the other defense that actually played the Denver Broncos and take the LA Chargers this time and like be smart. So I made my pick off air, unfortunately. Yeah. So yeah, I went with the LA Chargers instead of the Denver Broncos. So
and then Alex's player Chargers. Of the game.
And then the player of the game, the Alex's keeper is going to be Chase McLaughlin, the kicker, outscoring Chris Boswell with 16 points, outscoring everybody.
What was your grand total?
Grand total of 72.9 points. Oof.
Yeah, that was a rough week for you.
Very very rough week. Goes 0-3 as well. Doesn't win a single actual fantasy league game this season.
I had a decent week. I had like basically four players go off. So for Nib High football rules, I had Patrick Mahomes, who's going to be my keeper this week. He outscored Jackson Dart, even though Jackson Dart actually had a really good game. That's what I predicted. I said he was going to have a good game. He's going to be a good quarterback. I think Jackson Dart only put up like 20 points. You would have taken him.
Probably, yeah, after seeing that.
Yeah. But Patty Mahomes got me 35.3 points. He was my high scorer of the week, so he's going to be my keeper this week. I got to look. What's the Monday nights for this week?
You got
Chiefs. Oh, so I don't even get to keep them.
Chiefs. Nope.
So my second, as rules go.
Chiefs, Jags.
So I get to keep George Pickens will be my next one, as long as they're not on a bye week. But Pickens. So Patty Mahomes, he's out of my team. He's not going to be my kid.
Week five, it is a bye week for Pittsburgh.
He's on Dallas.
Oh, never mind.
Wrong team.
Wrong team. I mean, he was on the Steelers.
He was.
Sorry.
So
I'm sorry.
Patty Mahomes got me 35.3. He would have been my keeper, but he's not because he's on Monday Night Football now. So my running backs, I had Trey Benson or James Cook. James Cook put me 21 points. My wide receivers, who are one of them is now my keeper, I had George Pickens or Drake London. George Pickens put up 29.4 points. Wide receiver two, I had DJ Moore up against my keeper from last week, AJ Brown. And AJ Brown pooped the bed again. So it was DJ Moore with 5.8 points. My tight ends, I had Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce. And Kelce put up 7.3 points. So he's my keeper. Trevion Henderson versus Jacoby Myers. Henderson put up 7.6 points against Jacoby Myers. So he was my keeper. My defense had another good defensive week for me. So I had Detroit over Buffalo. Detroit gave me 20 points against Cleveland. And then my kickers were either Spencer Schrader or Parker Romo, and Parker Romo put up 10 points. So that gave me a whopping 136.4 for this week.
God, I like that. That's awesome. Good for you.
Got to keep my streak over 100. Got to keep my streak over 100.
Oh, yeah. He's been going off. Been going off.
Going off.
So resetting the board here.
So no Chiefs, no Jaguars. No Chiefs and Jags.
No Chiefs, no Jags.
And I gotta keep up with who the hell I've kept already. This is where it's gonna start getting harder here.
Oh yeah. It was already hard enough for me last week.
Yeah, you kept picking the wrong. You kept picking all the people on Monday night.
All right.
We're on week five, right?
Week five. On to week five. You got Atlanta, Chicago, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh all with a bye week. I made a little thing. I always make this at the beginning of the season when I do draft night for all my fantasy leagues.
Luckily, when I'm looking up players, whenever I do it, I just look up players and then their projections. So they're not, if there's a bye week, they're not going to be.
Yeah. I mean, with us, when we do it week by week, yeah, they'll show up.
We can just show them that way.
Not good score. Yeah.
All right, let's see. So it's Terry Silver's team versus the Sarcastaballs team first.
Yep. All right, so let's see here. Let me pull up Sleeper. That way I can pick the right players here today.
Yep. No okay. Chiefs, no Jags.
No Chiefs, no Jags. Heads or tails, Kyle?
Let's go with heads.
It is heads.
Finally get to go first.
Hey, you got to go first like week three.
It was like one time. All right. Well, my pick's on the board. Here, to make this easier, I'll put my guys in so you don't have to keep doing all of them.
That's okay. I don't mind.
So then you can search while I'm typing mine in. So for me, my quarterback is going to be Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. Gotta like that. Gotta like that. Gotta like good old Justin. Okay. For Alex's first pick, no Chiefs, no Jags.
No Chiefs, no Jags. I think the quarterback's like the easiest position to pick because there's only like a handful of them. It's like, well, that's nice. You might as well just take the good ones now.
Yeah.
The running backs are going to be hard, going to get hard at some point.
Oh.
I don't think I've taken him. Holy crap. I haven't yet.
Holy cow.
I don't know if I want to take him yet.
I don't know if I want to take him either.
Actually, I do want to take one of the guys. Where's he at?
Oh, I've already picked him.
Is he not projected that much? There he is.
All right, I'm going to go with Kyle's last week player of the week, Jackson Dart.
Nice. Give me Jackson choice. Dart. Give you Jackson Dart. Let's see.
Running back.
Running back. I don't think I've used him yet, so give me the player of the week this past week. Mr. Three Touchdowns himself, Ashton Jeanty.
Ashton, J-E-A-N-T-Y, Jeanty. All right. Oh, boy. All right, I'm going to go with the number one running back that is available on the waiver wire. Give me Kenneth Walker. He had a very big week last week.
K. Walker. Well.
Gainwell.
I was going to say, Kenneth Walker. So you just had Kenneth Walker.
Sorry. Kenneth Gainwell. Gainwell. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, Kenny Gainwell, he had a good game. I tried to add him at the end, but it was like the game started already. I was like, shit. I forgot they started early.
And then Kyle's pick is in.
Oh, yeah.
George Pickens.
Yeah, shit. I forgot about that.
Dang it.
Well, I already have my wide receiver two ready. George Pickens is in.
George Pickens is in. I'm gonna go with... Oh, boy. Tough, 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 tough. Have I picked him? No, I have not. I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy. He's back.
He's back.
All right, for my wide receiver two, I'm going with New York Jets, Garrett Wilson, against the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. Wide receiver number two for me. Let's see here. Because I gotta keep looking if I've picked them or not, too. Or if they're eliminated, really.
I have to keep going back and forth.
Give me Juwan Jennings.
Juwan Jennings. He is back. Where are we on? Tight end?
Tight end.
Give me New England's tight end, Hunter Henry.
All right. For my tight end, I'm going to go with give me Cade Otton.
Cade Otton.
All right, flex.
Yeah, flex is kind of tough right now, isn't it?
Very, very tough.
You know, he's had a sneaky good last few weeks. Actually, a sneaky good season so far. Give me the receiver for Kansas City Chiefs, Tyquan Thornton.
Thornton. I would definitely not have spelled that right if I didn't look it up.
Yeah.
Especially his first name. All right, for my flex position, I'm going to go with a man that had a good week this past week. I feel like he's going to do well at home. Give me the Michigan man himself, Zach Charbonnet.
He likes a nice bottle of wine.
Nice little bottle of wine there.
All right, defense.
Because Alex's pick is already in for a kicker.
There he goes, kicker. Right, well, defense is next anyways.
Anyways.
Give me the Arizona Cardinals defense against Tennessee at home.
Arizona. All right. I'm going to go with... See here. Who do I like? This is tough, man. This is tough. Oh, let me go with. Nope, I've already taken them. I can't go with them. He's already choosing that team.
Yeah, there's a lot of the good teams that are. I've already taken too. I was like, shit.
Just because I don't know if they're going to have a great game against this team. So let me give Cleveland a good shout out against Minnesota.
I can see that's a good choice. Might as well get them out of the way now.
Might as well. And Alex's pick is in for a kicker, Chase McLaughlin. So Kyle gets to pick a kicker.
My kicker will be Cameron Dicker. Dicker the kicker.
Dicker the kicker. Oh my gosh, what the heck did I just push? Cam Dicker. All right. All right. For the Sarcastaballs, starting at quarterback, got Jackson Dart. Running back is Kenneth Gainwell. Wide receiver one, Xavier Worthy. Wide receiver two, Juwan Jennings. Tight end, Cade Otten. Flex is Zach Charbonnet. Defense and special teams is Cleveland. And the returning kicker is Chase McLaughlin.
McLaughlin. All right, time for Terry Silver's amazing team. At quarterback, we've got Justin Herbert. My RB1 is Ashton Jeanty. Wide receiver one, I got my keeper from last week, George Pickens. Wide receiver two, I've got Garrett Wilson. My tight end is Hunter Henry. My flex is Tyquan Thornton. My defense special teams will be Arizona this week. And my kicker is Dicker the Kicker, Cam Dicker.
Dicker the Kicker, Cam Dicker.
Dicker the Kicker, Cam Dicker.
All right. On to Team Dose.
Taco Truck Sticks. And Taco Truck Sticks.
All right. All right, I'm gonna go with let's just go like just out of the blue, get him off the board. Give me Geno Smith.
No.
See what happens. See what happens.
For my pick, give me... I don't know if I want to take him right there. Looks like I could take the running back instead. So, yeah, let me go with... He's playing at home. Give me Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold going against my defense.
Yep, give me some Sam Darnold in my life.
Some Sam Darnold. Oh, wait, that's Seahawks. Still thinking he's
wrong,
on the
wrong one.
Wrong team, Alex. Wrong one. Still thinking he's on the Minnesota Vikings for some reason.
Wrong one.
Sorry. Apologies, everybody. Okay. No cheese, no Jags. I've yet to take the freaking guy, so do I really want to do that?
Is he gonna go with CMC? Is he gonna go CMC already?
No, not thinking of CMC.
I already have CMC taken.
Give me my guy, Jameer. Guy, Jameer. Gibbs.
Give him Sonic.
Give me Sonic.
I don't think I've picked him yet either. No, I haven't. I took Kyren, CMC.
Against the Buccaneer Cincinnati defense.
It's perfect because I was scared you might have taken the guy that I wanted. So for me, I will take Miami running back Devon Achane against Carolina. I was trying to decide whether I wanted to go with Tua at quarterback or Devon Achane at running back. So I was like, well, Carolina's run defense is horrendous. So let's see how Achane does against them.
I like it. Okay. Wide receiver.
Take the number one. The man, the myth, the legend.
Do I go that way? I don't know. I mean,
he's playing San Francisco. That's going to be tough.
That was the thing. I looked at that, too. I was like, I don't know. Playing against San Francisco is really not that attractive.
Damn it. I don't get to keep. Man, I kind of wanted McMillan this week.
I'm just going to go with a quarterback, wide receiver, link up and go with Jacoby Myers.
Nice. That's literally the route I'm going with, too. So, since you know my quarterback, Sam Darnold, I'm assuming you probably can guess my wide receiver. Seattle Seahawks. Jackson Smith. Jigba.
JSN.
JSN.
Yeah, that's what I'm just going to put. JSN.
I think he'll have a backup or a comeback game.
All right, wide receiver number two. Okay, he did not have a great game last week. I believe it was because it was a Thursday night game. He's playing against Tennessee, so I have a better feeling about this because I did not like that he was playing on Thursday night. He's now playing on Sunday. So give me Marvin Harrison Jr.
He did get himself a touchdown, but I like it. Might as well get him out now. For me, I'm a matchup with my other quarterback from my other team. Give me the North Carolina boy himself, Keenan Allen.
Very nice, very nice. All right, tight end. Tight end. I mean, might as well. Why don't I just stick with the freaking team? Give me Brock Bowers.
Ooh, I was thinking about taking him this week, finally. You kind of took the decision away for me. I'll get to hold on to him. I still have McBride and Bowers I get to use. But for this week, I'm going to go with Dalton Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid. He had a very good week last week.
Yeah, I've been using all my weak tight ends. I still have all my top ones available. Oh, I already got my flex. I'm ready.
I got to get to my flex right now. Hold on.
I added this guy in a couple leagues. Just in case he takes over as the starting running back, and he almost did after this past week. Actually, I think he is now. The dude had a monster game. Now. He had a monster game. I literally added him in two of my leagues. I was like, oh, man, I have a feeling this guy might take over. And then it was one of those situations where he would be like the number one waiver wire ad if I didn't pick him up the week before.
Let me go with Quentin Johnston.
Nice.
Quentin.
Yep. So my flex, who I just added in our league, our sleeper league together, running back that now is probably going to be taking over for Houston. Over Nick Chubb. Rookie Woody Marks.
Woody Marks?
He had a monster game. He had 17 carries, 69 yards and a touchdown, 4 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown.
Okay. I'm not wearing this hat for no reason.
Gotta go with him. Gotta get that defense in there.
Gotta get that defense. Give me the Lions defense against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Since I have the opportunity, might as well use them. I don't know if I really want to take the Bills against New England, though. I feel like Drake May's kind of coming along here. You know what? Give me the Eagles. They're playing at home against Denver. Bo Nix doesn't travel well, so give me Eagles.
Denver.
No, Philly.
Philly.
Yeah, please do not give me Denver.
Please do not give me Denver.
Definitely the Eagles, not the Broncos.
Definitely the Eagles, not the Broncos. All right. So since we're not doing any Jags, no Chiefs, my guy is already gone. I can pick him again. I don't know who he's playing against. No, he's on a bye week. Never mind. I can't pick him.
There we go. I haven't picked him yet this year. That'll be my kicker.
Give me the kicker to go against everybody that I've pretty much picked on this team, Spencer Schrader.
Yeah, you really have just picked that team, haven't you?
Pretty much. Been I pretty much them. Picked this whole matchup between the two teams.
Yeah. So for me, just give me Vegas as kicker. Give me Daniel Carlson. Gotta stick Daniel. With my dome. Stick with my dome teams or just nice weather teams.
Carlson.
Carlson, yeah.
Very nice. All right. All right, for the taco truck sticks, starting at quarterback is Geno Smith. Running back is Jahmyr Gibbs. Wide receiver number one is Jacoby Myers. Wide receiver number two is Marvin Harrison Jr. Tight end is Brock Bowers. In the flex position is Quentin Johnson. Defense and special teams is the Detroit Lions. And for my kicker is Spencer Schrader.
It's a nice team right there. Good team. Oh, yeah. All right. It's time for some Nip-Hop football rules. So a Nip-Hop football team, my starting quarterback is Sam Darnold. My running back, Devon Achan. My wide receiver one is JSN Jackson Smith and Jigba. My wide receiver two is Keenan Allen. My tight end is Dalton Kincaid. My flex is Woody Marks. My defense is the Philadelphia Eagles. And my kicker is Daniel Carlson.
I like it.
Another team selected.
Another team has been selected. Now, on to our fantasy award ceremony for MLB. Even though we didn't do it this season for really the MLB, we're just doing a regular season award ceremony this time around.
It's basically all MLB. It's our all MLB selections.
Pretty much. Like next, every position, next season we'll do
every position MLB we pick our award
fantasy thing, and then we'll be able to do this properly. But we want to at least get this off the ground and get it going, just to get a little good feel of what we like here. All right, for our awards for the best first baseman, I'm giving it to Freddie Freeman of the LA Dodgers.
Freddie Freeman. My first baseman will be the Toronto Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Very nice. All right,
for our worst, when we get to the worst segment,
we will get to the worst segment after we do everybody.
We just combine them. It's just a consensus worst.
Yes. All right, for the best second baseman on my side, I've got Nico.
Horner. Before you start the clap, we'll do both of ours and then do the clap.
Okay. Horner for Chicago Cubs.
Nico Horner, he did have a good year. So my second baseman is Arizona Diamondback, switch hitter, plays everywhere, but he is primary second baseman, Ketel Marte.
Very nice. All right, for my third baseman, I've got Alec Bohm from the Philadelphia Phillies.
All right, so for... For mine, I have the Detroit Tiger killer himself, Jose Ramirez.
I like it. Don't like it.
Yeah.
All right. For shortstop, I've got from the Toronto Blue Jays, Bo Bichette.
So for my shortstop is Kansas City's Royals, Bobby Witt Jr. with another good year.
Very nice. All right, for my best player out in left field, I've got Cody Bellinger from the New York Yankees.
He did have a good year. For me, my left fielder will be the San Diego Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. For my best center fielder, I've got Andy Pages? Pages?
Pages?
Pages?
Yeah.
Pages? Pages.
Pages.
For the LA Dodgers, Pages.
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 Pages. For my center fielder, it is the amazing center fielder for the Chicago Cubs. Give me some PCR. Give me Pete Crow Armstrong.
Like it. I like it.
All right. We have a consensus on right field, obviously.
We have a consensus on right field. Aaron Judge for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, Aaron Judge. That's an easy one. We should have had a consensus on the catcher. I'm surprised you went your way on catcher.
I mean, I liked how he played this season. Alejandro Kirk played a really great season this season for
the Toronto Blue Jays. Did he hit 60 home runs?
No, he did not. But he actually had a really great batting average. He had a good
He did have a good batting average.
Fielding average as well. So like he was just all around a good player.
He did have a good game.
For the Blue Jays. So yeah. I mean I can see why you went your way for your catcher, and I totally agree at the end of the day.
Yeah. So yeah, he had Alejandro Kirk and I chose Cal Raleigh. Pitcher was hard. I had a toss up. I didn't know which one to pick. And it was obviously between the two picks. It was between the two.
I'm not wearing this hat for no reason. Give me Tarik Skubal.
I say it was either going to be Skubal or Skeens. So since you went Skubal, I'll just go with Skeens.
And I'm just going to cry next season.
Yep. When he's playing for the Yankees. I'm just going to cry
during the whole offseason.
Where he's going to be with the Yankees or Dodgers.
All right, so for rookie of the season, I'm going to give it to Nick Kurtz from the Athletics.
American League, Nick Kurtz, rookie of the year from Wake Forest. He went to Wake Forest. National League, we have Cade Horton, the pitcher for the Chicago Cubs.
Okay, I like that.
So Nick Kurtz, he hit 36 home runs and batted .290. As a rookie, that's a really good season. Yeah, and then Cade Horton for the Cubs went 11-4 with a 2.67 ERA.
All right, so MVP of the season, Kyle. What we got?
All right. Well, there's two because remember you have two leagues, so everyone wants to go.
I don't know that. I just pick one. Yeah. I'm just like, all right.
So
I
my two,
think it's just one person.
So Shohei Ohtani would have been one, but he did hit 55 home runs. He had .282 batting average. But I want to go with someone different. I want to go against what the other – I mean, I can't do it. He had such a better year than Pete Crow. I wanted to go with Pete Crow Armstrong because he had an awesome year. But I got to stick with it. I got to go Shohei Ohtani for National League. And the big conversation that's all over baseball, is it Aaron Judge or is it Cal Raleigh? To me, everyone just wants Cal Raleigh because everybody wants something different. They just don't want to keep giving it to Aaron Judge. But how can you not give it to Aaron Judge?
Because he had a great season.
He had a 53 home runs, a .331 batting average. This is the first time since 1956 that the person leading batting average in MLB had over 50 home runs.
Cal Raleigh might get it next year. We'll leave it for next year.
I honestly think Cal Raleigh is going to get it because people are just tired of giving it to Aaron Judge, which is kind of a stupid argument to make. Yep. Cal Raleigh literally to me, it's insane to give someone that batted .246 or whatever – or .220, whatever his batting average was, an MVP. That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got to go Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge deserves it.
Aaron Judge. I agree. Aaron Judge. All right, Cy Young award.
Yeah, Cy Young's easy.
Cy Young.
American League, you got Tarik Skubal.
Okay.
No, it's funny because like both winners have a very low win rate. They don't have a lot of wins, but their stats are amazing. Because, Tarik Skubal went 13-6 with a 2.21 ERA. And let's see, where was his strikeout rate? He had 241 strikeouts. So he topped his last year's strikeout rate by over 20.
Good Lord.
So, love that. So Tarik Skubal's my American League. And then Paul Skeens for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Rookie phenom. He's just insane. He went 10-10 because he's with the Pirates, obviously. But he had a 1.97 ERA. What? That's crazy to have a sub-2 ERA. Back-to-back years, too. He had a 1.96 ERA last year. And he struck out 216 batters. So Paul Skenes might be the best. I mean, I'm going to say might be. He is the best pitcher in baseball right now. And it's only his second year. It's crazy. So, yeah, you got Tarek Skubal and Paul Skenes are your two Cy Youngs.
Like it. I like it. I like it. All right. On to the worst of every position. Obviously, we're not going to have a worst rookie, MVP, or Cy Young because there's no such thing.
There's no such thing.
Get ready for it.
Go through the list, Alex. Go through the list.
All right, for the first baseman, we've got Christian Walker for Washington. I did this list off of the players that qualified. So you can go in and you can look at all the stats throughout the whole season. And literally, I'm just going off of who qualified to make the list. So it gets to about like 150 players total, about 200, like right around there. So it's still a good, you know, handful of players that still played, like, I guess, what, 30 games, 40 games, something like that. I don't know what the qualified line is, but apparently it's something around that number where they got to play a number of games throughout the season and, like, be healthy and all that stuff. So, Christian Walker for the Washington Nationals, you take the worst for first baseman. For second baseman, Ozzie Albies for the Atlanta Braves takes the worst. For third baseman, Matt Chapman for the San Francisco Giants, unfortunately, takes the worst for third base. For shortstop, we've got Willie
Adames
for the San Francisco Giants as well, taking the worst. For left fielder, Taylor Ward for the LA Angels, taking the worst for that one. Center fielder, O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates, taking the worst of the worst for that. That's a big name, taking the worst right there. Another big name for right fielder, Mike Trout. He did not have a good season at all.
Nope.
This year, like, he was right there near the bottom, yep, like close on to 155, like ranked. Yeah, what are you doing down there, buddy?
Yep.
Yeah, like a big name like that, you should not be down there. I'm sorry. For the catcher, Augustin Ramirez for the Miami Marlins, taking the worst of the worst.
So one other player I would put into that list with catcher would be Adley Rutschman for the Orioles. He had a terrible year. For as high up as he would be drafted, he had a bad year.
Okay, I like that. I like that little feedback in there. And then for pitcher, we've got Jake Irvin for the Washington Nationals taking.
See, I like that one. But I'll give you two other ones for pitcher.
Okay.
Because no one's really going to draft Jake Irvin if we're talking about fantasy, like to be like your stud. Someone that you would draft high and did not perform to that value whatsoever. I have two choices for you. One's a starting, one's a reliever. The Philadelphia Phillies, Aaron Nola, had a not really good year this year. So he would have been drafted somewhat high. Aaron Nola did not play very well. The other one, which I think would be consensus for most people in fantasy, he was a closer, he was a high added closer this offseason to a very good team, and shit his pants, literally shit his pants. That would be Devin Williams for the Yankees. Came in to be the closer, did nothing, lost his job within 2 months.
All right, a lot of the worst of the worst for our awards ceremony.
Yep.
All right.
Now we get to go gamble some money.
Yeah, now moving on to our most hyped up portion of our segments, the gambling men. You know,
so look,
love it.
Well, let's go through every time. Go ahead through it.
Must be 21 or older to gamble. Problems with gambling, please call the gambling helpline at 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so I think I figured out how we're going to do the money situation. So, like, if you look at my section, I just put, like, winnings, and I have at -$30, so that just shows you how I did this week. So.
Nice.
So, like, for our singles.
Winnings.
Like, when you have your singles, unless it's a crazy single, most of our singles are going to be, like, minus 108, minus 110, right?
Yep.
So, let's say if we hit a single, it... You could say if we hit a single, you get $5, basically. You lose a single, and it's a low single. I mean, you can just do the math on it, so...
Yeah.
If you lose a single, it's just minus $10 because that's what we're just putting in, technically.
Gotcha.
Like $10. So since I got to adjust mine because since I went 2 for 4, and again, like with their parlays, we're not counting them unless we hit them all because that's how you would win a parlay.
Yeah.
So like this week, I went technically, since I went 2 and 3 in my singles this week. So I already lost $30 right off the bat.
Same.
Just off singles would have been minus $30. With my parlays, I lost both of them, but I was close on both. I lost both. So that would be negative $50. So right off the bat, there's negative $50. But I hit two singles like you did. So that should be $15. Each. So does that make sense? Like if we hit a single, we get $15 because it's, we'll just make it a simple, unless it was a crazy like plus 220 odd one that you placed. If they're just the basic minus 108, minus 110, like around that area, we'll just say a $10 bet gets you 15 because that's about what the average is and it'll make it easier to track. So since I was at negative $50. And then we'll go over that at the end. So I'll go over how much I've made or lost for the week or what's my total. But yeah, I'll start it since we both went 2 and 3 in singles. I had the TCU money line versus Arizona State. It was a close one. I thought TCU was going to pull it off, but they didn't. I had the Illinois +6.5 versus USC. That's one I hit. I had Washington +8.5 versus Ohio State. I lost that one. I had the Saints +16.5 versus the Bills. I hit that one. I told you that was way too much of a spread. Like you got to hammer those.
Yep.
That was an easy bet there. +16.5. So I hit that one. Then I lost the 49ers -3 versus the Jags. I don't know how the 49ers lose to the Jags. That was crazy.
Very crazy.
Yeah. So that put me at 2 and 3, 14 and 18 overall. I'm struggling with these singles. I'm struggling betting this year. It's been rough start. I try to dial in for this week. So this week, my singles, I have Clemson -13.5 versus UNC at -115. I just don't think UNC is good. They're just not good. So I think Clemson has a much better team, and they're just not playing how they should be playing. Clemson has a great team. There's no reason why they're this bad right now. So I think they're going to hammer UNC. I have Wisconsin +16.5 versus Michigan. That's a huge spread. I think Michigan wins this game, but that's a lot of points to me again.
For a
Big Ten game, that's a lot of points for a Michigan team that really doesn't blow people out. So I'm taking the +16.5 versus Michigan at -108. I'm taking the Bama -10.5 versus Vandy at -115. I think Bama kills them. I really do think Bama's going to kill them in this game. I got Eagles -5.5 versus the Broncos at -110. Broncos have to go to Philly. Bo Nix has to play in Philly for the first time. It's going to be interesting. So I think they're going to beat him handedly. And then I have the Bucks +2.5 versus Seattle. And that was actually plus money for some reason on betting sites. It was +100. Oh, wow. Yeah. I think Bucks could have a comeback against Seattle. So I'm going to take Bucks +2.5 on that one.
I like that. I like the sound of that, honestly, since I'm picking the Buccaneers in my actual pick.
Yeah, plus money.
Yeah, for my upcoming week, Kyle, I've got, at least for the two games tonight, Yankees money line, -130. I kind of like that. And then the Cleveland Guardians money line is at +123 for tonight. I know Tarik Skubal's on the mound. And if it turns out like the last time Tarik was on there on the mound and the Guardians won, hey, it's positive money for me. Yep. So I'm just going to go ahead and take that one. New York Jets money line tonight against the Dolphins is +130. That is just crazy to not hit on. Like, I mean, the Dolphins have had not a great season. They're not really doing much.
But again, they're still a good team, but they're just a good team still. Yeah. It's
They are a good team, and I think the Jets actually might just be able to take it to them. I think the Jets could possibly beat them. Like, I just have that kind of feeling today for that. And then upcoming Sunday games, I've got the Carolina Panthers money line. That is at plus 100. I kind of like how that looks to me. I can't
for
remember.
Who?
Are they
you said who?
The Panthers. The Panthers.
Did you watch this past week?
I did watch this past week, but do you see how the Dolphins are playing? Again,
they're not beating the Dolphins.
I don't know. I like it. And then I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers money line at plus 114. Yeah. I kind of like them against the Seahawks as well.
See, I was about to take the money line, but the spread was +2.5 for only like a little bit less, and it's still plus money. So that's why I went with the spread on mine.
Yeah. All right, same game parlay or anything goes?
I think the same game, since you kind of were
it. My honorable mention, Kyle. Sorry, I forgot to put this in here. Maryland money line over Washington is plus 180, and they're at home.
Not bad. Yeah. I would hammer that one.
So
actually, I would hammer that because having to go from West Coast to West Coast to East Coast.
Yep.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good bet. I would actually most favor that one. We'll hop into the same game since you were talking about them. See, I have the opposite feeling. I think Dolphins, after playing Bills really close, I think they're going to come out better this week. So,
yeah.
I have them as my same game parlay against the Jets tonight. I have the Dolphins -2.5 versus Jets. I'm taking the spread at -2.5. That's -118 odds. I'm having a Tyreek Hill anytime touchdown at +125. And then Tua to throw two or more touchdowns at -120. So I'm not going crazy like I have in the weeks. I got to win some money back here at some point. So that gave me a +345. So $10 on the line to win $44.50 for that one.
I like it. I like it. My same game parlay, I'm taking the game tonight. I've got baseball. Or no, this is Tuesday night. Sorry. Tarik Skubal to get 8. Or more strikeouts, sitting at -121. Cleveland Guardians money line again at +123. And then I'm taking the under 6.5 scores. I don't think it's
baseball.
Going to be,
yeah. It's usually you always hammer your unders in baseball.
Especially with Skubal on the mound, and I'm guessing it's gonna be Cleveland's ace too.
That's a lot of runs for two aces pitching. And in the postseason where pitching just like locks down in the postseason.
Yeah, so that totals it out to being +700. So $10 is going to pay out $70. So yeah, let me take that.
For my same game parlay I had last week, I had Marvin Harrison Jr. anytime touchdown was a hit.
I don't even want to mention mine.
Sam Darnold 200 plus passing yards was a hit, but I took Cardinals over Seattle, so that was my miss. I was so close.
Yeah, everything lost for me. Every single thing. Same game parlay, anything goes parlay.
I was one away from both of my parlays.
Yeah, no JSN touchdown for me. No Jordan Mason touchdown. No USA Ryder Cup win. No Jaron Duran two bases. No Scherzer 5 strikeouts. No Blue Jays win.
I was so close. My anything goes parlay was +2,608 odds. I was that close. I shouldn't have taken the Washington. Close. I had Oregon money line. I had Illinois money line, and I had the Washington money line. So I missed out on the Washington one.
Oh well.
But for my upcoming anything goes parlay, I've talked about it already. I love the Bama spread against Vandy. I really do think they're going to come. I could be a fool saying it, but that's one of those games I feel like they've had this one circled. Like, we are going to beat the shit out of Vandy for last year. 10.5 is not that much in college football, and I think they could beat them by 20. So I'm hammering Bama -10.5. That's at -115 odds. I like the Ohio State -24.5 versus Minnesota. Ohio State usually never struggles against Minnesota, and I don't think Minnesota's that good. They didn't look good this past weekend, and Ohio State's coming back home, so I kind of think they could blow them out. So that's at +100. So give me plus money for Ohio State blowout, which is not crazy. And then I'm taking the Rams money line versus the 49ers at minus 180. So that gave me a plus 481. So $10 gets me 58.
Like that. I like that. My anything goes parlay. I went for the win series. You can go in and you can pick a team to win the series for baseball. So I've got the Cleveland Guardians to win the series. That's at negative 110. Chicago Cubs to win the series. That's at negative 120. And then New York Yankees to win their series at negative 175. That's totaling out to a plus 450. So $10 is going to pay 45 bucks.
I like that. I like that.
So, yeah. Don't bet on ACC football. That's my do not bet on. Don't bet on anything ACC football right now. Like I don't even know what's going to happen. Like, I feel like what's going to happen, but the totally opposite could happen. Like, it's just crazy, 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 crazy to try and bet on anything ACC football right now.
Let's see.
Just wait for basketball season to start. Then you can start betting on anything ACC if you want.
my don't bet on it is don't bet on the international games, the international NFL games.
Okay.
When they play international, you're losing. Like, if you just go onto your sports apps or whatever, your betting apps, and you're looking like, oh, like this past week, for example, it's like, oh, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Minnesota has got to go into Pittsburgh to play. Because you're thinking it's at Pittsburgh, but it's not.
Nope.
That's like, they got home field advantage. There's going to be a low-scoring game, and it's not going to be.
Quote-unquote home team.
Yep. So be wary. I would say be wary of – you can bet on the international games, but just be wary of the – over under if you're determining, like, because they're at home or away advantage, just wipe that off the board. So, or they're hard to bet on. I've never had success betting on international football games, so I would avoid those.
Okay, I like that. I like that. All right, wrong thing. There we go. Homeward bound we go. All right. Into our scoreboard review we go, Kyle. All right, so let's see here. Previous overall for me was 384. Yours is 419.6 for previous overall. This week with the NFL score, let's see here. I scored 72.9 points. That's awesome. Plus 2 points, so 74. Plus 1, so 75. Great. 75.9 points for me this week.
75.
Low. 9. Low score. Low score. Low scoring points for Alex. He's going to fall very far behind Kyle here this week.
Let's see. Where was I at? So I had
136.
So I had 1 point. Fantasy. 1 point on my. So 1 point on week review. I didn't get any in the upsets.
137.
So then I only got 2 on my singles. So there's 2 more points there. So 3 points added to my fantasy.
139 point. What was it for? 0.4. So it is now. Jeez, Kyle's just killing me. I'm at 459.9 points, and Kyle's at 679.4 points.
That's right.
So far this season for the overall scoreboard here. Not great. Not great for me. Need to find a way to come back. I need some gambling men to hit. I need a little everything to hit. Need to go 5-0. Need my fantasy teams to actually show up. Good Lord. That is not. All right. Anyways, opposite of me, the Lions are looking great. Loving all that. Oh.
Lions are doing good. Packers had a really good game last week, so that was fun. Or not good, last week. Literally last night. Yeah. Not last week. Literally last night, but Yeah, it was a good tie. They looked good. Their defense didn't play very well, but we'll give it to them. Yeah, we're on postseason play, so we got Packers. They look – or not postseason, that's in the MLB, but Packers look good. Wish they could have came out with a win, but yeah, it is what it is. Lions kind of like are tied for Green Bay now. Lions look good. We got Panthers are back to being the Panthers. They're terrible.
We suck again.
We suck again. Yeah, they didn't look good. Suck again. Once again.
Did not look good at all. No. Wolverines are coming out of a bye week. This is, should be a good little rest for them and coming in to play Wisconsin at home.
Wisconsin at home, so it'll be a good game. Wisconsin. Be excited to watch that one. I think they should handle them easy. Well, yeah, there's nothing changed there. Wolfpack just needs some defense. Well, definitely, at least they survived the over-under this past week, but yeah, they just didn't look good again. So, yeah, Wolfpack needs some work. Wake Forest got scrubbed. We talked about it. I was like, we kind of talked about all of these already. Yeah. Like, we kind of hit on all of them.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wake Forest got screwed over. And then you got Yankees and Red Sox, or Yankees playing Red Sox, a big rivalry series, and Tigers Guardian rivalry series.
Well, I'm just predicting Tigers to be a first round exit. Unfortunately, I just have that feeling that they're just gonna not do well. Red Wings start the preseason at 2-2, and then the Canes start their preseason at 0-3. They have yet to get a win.
It's preseason, but we're a week away.
It is preseason.
Next week.
Yep. And then Wrexham have yet to get a win at home in the Championship League. This is not good. Not good at all.
This is not good.
They have two wins, but not at home.
Yeah, not good. Not good there.
Nope, not at all. Well, that's it for This and That Podcasting Podcast. Hope y'all enjoyed. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. I'm Alex Bauer.
And I'm Kyle Davis.
Y'all have a good rest of your day. Peace.
Peace.